recording. My parents wanted me to record this one.
It's good to be back up here again. Maybe the last time for a while that I get to speak to you. Maybe next time when I come back, I'll be a little better than I am now. I'd like to speak to you tonight about something that seems to be very important throughout the Bible, and that is never give up. I know this morning, Brother Jimmy gave the lesson, and he told us close to the end of it that never is a word that we need to not use as much, but every once in a while we still need to use that word, and this is one of those cases. We should never give up. The audience was sitting captivated as they waited to hear what Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England, would say to them. He had come all the way from England to speak at Yale University. And when he got up, they were expecting words of wisdom. As he stood in front of the group and looked around at all of those college students and all of the faculty and those who were visiting there to hear him speak, he said just three words. Never, 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 never give up. And that's the point that I would like to get across to you tonight. Never give up. The first verse that I would like to look at is a passage from Luke. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That last verse and that last situation is the one that I would like for us to look at. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. No one. You may think that perhaps you're special because you're a Christian, and that you are. But even a Christian, if he turns from what he has learned, cannot be fit for the kingdom of heaven. The second verse that I'd like for us to look at is Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Here the writer of Galatians writes to those in Galatia and tells them, as Winston Churchill told those at Yale, never give up. We're going to reap what we sow if we continue to sow. But if we stop sowing, how can we reap anything? It's like the story of the Chinese bamboo tree that my father told a couple of weeks ago. The tree, for 5 years, is watered, fertilized, and nothing happens. But then on that fifth year, finally it grows, and it grows 90 feet. Now how can we expect to grow at all if we simply go maybe a year and study and try to see what we can learn, and then we get discouraged thinking, well, nothing's happening, like someone growing this Chinese bamboo tree might. After a year, there's no proof that it's grown at all. You can't see any results. But if we never give up, we will see the results. And that's what Paul is writing here in Galatians. If we do not grow weary in our well-doing, we will reap. Next is Revelations chapter 2 and verse 10. looking at the latter part of verse 10, the last sentence there. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Here in Revelation, we're told that if we are faithful unto death, not just until the hard times come, not just until there's a little bit of suffering or until someone in the church hurts us, but until death, then we shall reap that crown of life. That's the first point that I'd like to get across to you, is never, never give up. The second point is, instead of giving up, what are we to do? Well, Paul tells us this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Earlier in this chapter, he's been speaking of the idea of works saving you and how that's not possible, that we're saved by Christ and by faith in Christ. And here in verse 12, he writes, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here Paul is telling us what he does. He presses on towards the goal that's set in front of him. And he tells us, this is what you need to do. Many of you may or may not know of a marathon runner named Bill Rogers. He was one of the greatest marathon runners of our time and won many races in his time. There was a man named Bill Williams who had Bill Rogers as his idol. He watched every race that he could that was on television that Bill Rogers ran. He read about in the newspapers all of the races that Bill Rogers ran. He had pictures of Bill Rogers. He wanted to be just like Bill Rogers. Then one day, as he was reading his paper in his hometown, he saw that Bill Rogers was coming to his town, and there was going to be a race there in the town. He was so excited because he so much wanted to run with his hero. He started training that day. He trained and trained, and he trained for months upon without an end, months trying to become the best that he could be in order that he could run the race and be successful. And you see, this may sound like just an ordinary story, but there's something special about Bill Williams. Bill Williams isn't like the rest of us. He has a problem with some of his brain and the nerves that connect it to his muscles, and they don't react quickly enough, so that if he was to run across in front of us, we would think that he was just walking, because that's as fast as he could go. So Bill Williams continued to run, even though it seemed like walking. And then the day of the race came, and there were thousands of people there, and he couldn't see his hero anywhere, but he knew that his hero was somewhere in that crowd. And as the race started, there were hundreds of people lined up at the starting line. And they all began to run. And as the race went along, of course, Bill Williams, being slower than the rest, fell behind. And eventually, everyone else had finished. Of course, Bill Rogers, being the marathon runner that he was, had come in first. He had won the prize. But Bill Williams still continued to run. Even after all of the other contestants had finished the race, he still continued to run. All of the others were leaving. They had all finished, and they thought the race was over. They had all left except for one man who noticed that there was still one runner on the course. He saw that it was Bill Williams, and he knew of Bill Williams' fascination for Bill Rogers, and he knew why Bill Williams was still out there working so hard to try and finish the race. Many times during the race, Bill Williams wanted to give up. He wanted to quit, just like many of us would. running a long race. But he didn't give up because he knew in his heart, deep down inside, he knew that Bill Rogers was going to be waiting for him at that finish line. He knew that his hero was going to be there waiting. So this man that saw Bill Williams still running, he knew that Bill Williams would be devastated if Bill Rogers wasn't waiting for him at the finish line. He went to the newspaper office where they were having a celebration party in honor of Bill Rogers for coming to the town and for competing in the race and winning. And he told Bill Rogers about Bill Williams, told him why he was running, and told him the situation. And then Bill Rogers, with the crowd that was there at the party celebrating with him, went back to the end of the course and went back to the finish line and waited as Bill Williams ran the course. Now at the end of this course, it was uphill, and right over the top of the hill was the finish line. And Bill Williams was getting to the end of the race, and he was really wanting to quit. He was ready to give up. And then just about the time when he thought he couldn't run any further, he heard the voice saying, "Come on, Bill, you can make it. You can make it. I know you can make it. You're almost there. You can make it." And he couldn't see who was standing at the finish line, but he knew the voice from hearing it on the radio, on the television. He knew that that was the voice of his hero, Bill Rogers. He knew that Bill was waiting at that finish line for him. And so he pressed on to finish the race. And as he crossed the finish line and ran into the open arms of Bill Rogers, and they both fell to the ground with tears running down their face, then as they got up, Bill Rogers took the medal from around his neck and placed it around Bill Williams' neck. And he said, "Today, you are the winner because you didn't give up. You had many chances to quit, but you continued to run. You didn't give up. You are the winner today." In much the same way, we can't see Jesus standing at the finish line waiting for us. But tonight I want you to be able to hear him. He's there. He's saying, "Come on, you can make it. I made it. You can follow me. Follow me. You can make it. You can finish the race and enter into heaven with me." In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the writer here writes, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Here the writer of Hebrews tells us, here in black and white in writing, that Jesus endured all of this, and that now he's waiting for us. He's waiting on the right hand of the throne of God, and I can hear him now cheering us on. He has confidence that we can make it, because he made it, and he knows that with his strength we can make it. And the writer of Hebrews also tells us not to become weary and discouraged. We have to hear the encouragement that's coming from Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 27, here talking about Abraham, "By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." The one who is invisible is God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They're invisible, but we can still know that they're there and know that they're on our side, trying to help us along. Even here, right beside us, right here with us tonight, even though we can't see them, we know that they're here. The next and the last point, fourth point, that I would like to make is that we need to endure persecution. In Philippians chapter 3, once again, this time in verses 17 through 19. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. They mind earthly things. Here, Paul writing to the Philippians, here he says, even with tears in his eyes, he is warning them that there are those who are out there who would like to destroy the cross of Christ, who are enemies to us. They're telling us, no, you can't do it, you can't make it. But we have to make the decision of who we're going to listen to. Are we going to listen to those who are telling us, no, you can never do that? Or are we going to listen to Jesus, who's waiting for us, who has already finished the race, who knows that we can finish the race, and who's telling us, I know you can, who's cheering us on? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul writes to Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's going to be hardships, but as the first point was, we can never give up. We have to endure those hardships. There's a song by the a cappella vocal band, who I'm sure many of you have heard of, and whether you approve of them or not, the point remains that this song has a beautiful message. It says, I'm giving up, I'm giving up. I'm never going to give up again. It's a beautiful message. If we can just give up on giving up, then we won't ever have to give up again. We can never give up if we've already given up on giving up. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. James writes, take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is full of pity and of tender mercy. Here James writes and says that if we just hold on, if we can endure for long enough, then God's going to be there waiting to pick us up and carry us right into heaven. Because, as he says here, the Lord is full of pity and of tender mercy. And that mercy, as we know, is the only way that we can get to heaven, is by the mercy and the grace of God. My final point is that endurance does bring salvation. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Notice here Jesus didn't say, he who endures to halftime, or through the first three innings of the ball game, or through the first 2 miles of the race, but he says, to the end, all the way, through every trial and every temptation. Does that mean that we can never fall at any time during the race? That if we fall, we can't endure? No, that's not what it means. By enduring, that means that when we fall, we get back up. And we don't stay down and lay and wait for someone else to come pick us up. We get up and go on. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Here Paul tells Timothy that the only way that we're going to be able to be in heaven with Jesus, to be able to reign with him, is to endure this life here on earth. To endure all the trials, the temptations, all of the problems, the little setbacks, the friends and the enemies that we have here on the earth. And if we deny him and choose not to endure, choose not to make it through all of those problems, we decide to give up and deny Jesus, and when we get to heaven and say, Lord, Lord, he's going to say, I never knew you. In James chapter 1 and verse 12, this is my final verse. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The crown of life. We all want to have that crown of life. I can't imagine why anyone wouldn't want that crown of life. But there's only one way that we can get that crown of life, and that's to endure the temptations that are set before us, to endure the trials and all the problems that come along with living this earthly life, the aches and the pains that we have, the sicknesses, the beautiful days where we'd rather go fishing and come and be with the Lord and worship with the saints. We have to endure all of those things, and if we do, then we'll have the crown of life, because God has promised, and as it's written elsewhere in the Bible, God isn't slack on his promises. If he promises us something, we're going to receive it if we keep up our end of the deal. Now finally, I'd just like to remind you of Bill Williams. And imagine all of the problems that he must have had trying to run that race, and yet we were in such a better position than he would have been in. We have it easier to run that race. We need to run the race and endure all the way to the end, like Bill Williams did. All the way to the end where our Savior is waiting with his open arms to catch us as we fall across the finish line into that eternal rest. But if you've never begun the race, you don't have to worry about giving up. But you also can't endure if you never start. And at this time, if you haven't begun the race, perhaps it's time to begin that race. Because you never know how much time you'll have. As Mr. Preston said down here, death comes at any time, sometimes most unexpectedly, many times most unexpectedly. But if you have begun to run that race, and perhaps you've fallen down somewhere along the way and you're having trouble getting back up, come and let us help you get back up. And hear Jesus calling and saying, come on, get up. You can make it. You can finish the race. Just be sure to listen to Jesus, who is encouraging you, and not to those who would like to drag you down to their level where they are. If you have any need whatsoever at this time, we'd ask that you'd come as we stand and sing.